ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति 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 ओम श्रीमन महागणाधिपतये नमः। सो डेफिनेटली पंचदशी इज अ वेरी ग्रेट टेक्स्ट टू बी इंटरेस्टेड इन स्टडिंग पंचदशी इटसेल्फ इन नीड्स ऑट ऑफ पुण्यम टू बी एबल टू स्टडी इज प्लीज मच मोर पुण्यम to be able to understand is much more punyam and to be able to continue to study without any break with any obstacles again needs lots and lots of bhagwan's grace anyway so we are thankful to bhagwan at least today we are able to meet after a long break so before I enter into the next chapter because I it is a long break we had before we enter into second chapter we'll have the summary of the first chapter so you'll remember at least what all topics we covered in general and if at all any doubts you have we can again always we can continue so the first chapter in the panchadashi the first chapter of the 15 chapters the first chapter is known as tatva viveka prakaranam the word prakaranam is used to mean the chapter the adhyaya in sanskritam we have these words adhyaya and prakaranam is also used in the sense of a chapter in this context so Tattva vivekaha. Tattvam means truth, the reality. Vivekaha means discriminative understanding. And a discriminative understanding of the truth, Tattvasya vivekaha, is the main subject matter of this chapter. Therefore, this chapter is known as Tattva Viveka Prakaranam. And this chapter mainly discussing the discriminative understanding of the truth or reality known as Tattva Viveka Prakaranam consists of 65 verses which you all know because we read with big, one by one so many all the verses we understood. And if at all you have any doubts, we can clarify them in the classes. And here, to understand the whole summary of this chapter, we can see what are all the topics, how this whole the chapter presents the teaching. We have to see that. If we look into how the chapter presents the teaching, the very first verse, what does the author do? Vidyaranya Swami, the great teacher, and first there is introduction. He introduces the teaching. An introduction of the teaching should always begin with the benediction. So the very first opening verse is a verse of benediction, benedictory verse, wherein he pays his obeisance to his guru Shankarananda. The very first verse. And second thing, the second verse. The first verse and the second verse, the first two verses. the first two verses introduce the topic with benediction, invoking the grace of Bhagavan in the form of the teacher himself. And he also mentions the purpose of this teaching. He says, for the easy understanding of the beginners, for the sake of the beginners, for their easy understanding, this Tattviveka Prakaraha is mentioned here. Therefore, this very topic itself, the chapter itself is named after the named as Tattviveka Prakaranam. So this is the content of the first two verses. I'm sure you remember that. Then the second, so introduction forms the first thing. Then what is the second important feature we find here is the teaching of the Vedanta's essence. Essence of the Vedantic teaching. Essence of the Vedantic teaching is this presented here in almost seven verses or eight verses. Third verse onwards until the tenth verse, third to the tenth. In these eight verses, essence of the Vedantic teaching is given. So what is the essence of the Vedantic teaching? Let us see here. The Vedantic essence of the Vedantic teaching is Mahavakya Bodhanam. Mahavakya Bodhakam. Revealing, teaching the essential oneness of the individual and the total. Teaching the essential oneness of the individual and the total in terms of Jivatma, Paramatma, Swarupa, Aikyam is the essence of the Vedantic teaching. So here, how it is taught? Jivatma, the truth of the individual. Paramatma, the truth of the total, are essentially one and the same. This is Jivaha is also Atma, Paramaha is also Atma. Jivaha and Paramaha are two different names attributed to the one and the only reality, the Atma. What Atma? What Atma? Satchit Anandaha. Atma is Satchit Ananda. Atma is given two different titles as Jiva and Parama. And this, how does Vidyarana Swami discuss here the essential teaching? He beautifully says, all our cognitions, all the cognitions, he uses the cognitions, our experiences, to reveal this fact. What are these cognitions? What are our experiences? Our experiences and cognition or cognitions are nothing but two factors put together constitute any experience or cognition. What are those two factors constitute the cognition or experience? The consciousness aspect, Chaitanyam, then Vritti aspect, the thought aspect. Consciousness and thought, consciousness aspect and vritti, Chaitanya aspect and vritti aspect. These two aspects constitute experience. Every mere consciousness alone cannot become experience or cognition. Or thought with alone cannot become experience or cognition. These two two factors together constitute the experience, any experience or cognition. And we go through many experiences every day. We go through many cognitions. And in every experience, in every cognition, there are, the cognitions are many, but the plurality, the multiplicity of the cognitions is due to the plurality or multiplicity of the thoughts. Thoughts are many. Thought aspects. Thoughts are many, countless, whereas consciousness is one. So in every cognition, in every experience we go through, thoughts are variable. So in all these variable thoughts, the one invariably present aspect is consciousness. So consciousness does not vary, whereas thoughts vary. Thoughts differ. Therefore, the countability belongs to the thoughts, not to the consciousness. It is like one thread keeping all the beads together in one mala. It is one consciousness which lends life to all the thoughts. So consciousness is one, thoughts are many. Consciousness does not differ or vary, whereas thoughts differ and thoughts vary. Just as one thread keeps all the varied beads together, it is one consciousness is there as underlying reality behind all the thoughts. So here, and therefore, this consciousness is not only it is changeless. So consciousness is the very substratum where thoughts rise, exist and resolve. This varying, different, multiple, plural thoughts rise, exist, resolve in awareness, the consciousness. Therefore, we say this consciousness is nityaha, eternal, timeless, is of the nature of timelessness. Consciousness is eternal, nityaha. So consciousness is in Sanskritam known by the term chit or chaitanyam, and the eternity, timelessness is known by the term sat. Timelessness or eternity is known as sat, and consciousness is known as chit or chaitanyam. Now, this timelessness or eternity is otherwise understood as freedom from mortality. Timelessness is immortality. timelessness or eternity is immortality. Immortality is freedom from mortality. And this freedom from mortality is freedom from mortality. Freedom from death is anandaha. I brought all the three words now. Chaitanyam, consciousness is Chaitanyam, Chit. And eternity, timelessness of this consciousness is Sat, known as Sat. And the eternity is immortality. Immortality is freedom from mortality, which is Anandaha. Therefore, Sat Chit Anandaha is the one and the one same in all the jivas. The difference is, where is the difference then? Every jiva is essentially Satchidananda Swarupaha, Satchidananda Atma. Sat Chit Anandaha is equal to Atma, the Self. So the difference is only in thoughts. Vrittis, Vrittishu Bhedaha, Vritti Bhedaha, Natu Chaitanya Bhedaha. There is no difference in consciousness, because consciousness is one and the same, where the difference is only in the thoughts. Therefore, we can say this countability, multiplicity, plurality, duality belongs to the body, mind, and thought. It doesn't belong to consciousness. In fact, you can look at every wave as a container, not physical container, as every wave is in and through filled with the water. We can look at every wave, form a name as container, and H2O as the content. H2O is the content, and the wave, form a name is a container. In the same way here, you can look at the physical body is a container, and within this physical body, there is a mind, which is another container. And within the mind, you can say that there are so many thoughts which are like containers. And the Chaitanyam is the content. So this multiplicity, plurality, divisibility, differences, etc., belong to the so-called containers, Namarupani, names and forms, but the division, these plurality divisions, etc., does not belong to the content, the very consciousness. And if we carefully understand, we carefully look into this pure consciousness, merely the consciousness as it is, without cognitively discerning the consciousness, deleting the containers, the body, mind, sense complex, we only take only the consciousness into account and negate cognitively the body, mind, sense complex. The very same consciousness is what now? Limitless Atma. The very same consciousness minus body, mind, sense complex is what? Limitless consciousness is always called Parama Atma. So Jiva Atma without the body, mind and complex upadhi is equal to Parama Atma. What is wave? Water with a minus wave form is what? Water minus wave form, a name, is equal to water, the whole. The truth. See, here also, Jiva Atma minus Upadhi is equal to Paramatma. So Jiva Atma without the body mentions complex. You don't need to physically undo the body mind's complex. Cognitively, intellectually discern the consciousness, delete cognitively the body mind's complex. Is otherwise called, is known by this, can be called by these words Brahma, Param Brahma, Atma, Paramatma. Therefore, this Jiva Atma Paramatma Aikyam alone is called Jnanam, the knowledge. Okay, it's called as Jnanam. Jiva Atma Paramatma Aikya Jnanam. This is the essence of the Vedantic teaching. Hope you understood it. How he presents the teaching, Jivatma Paramatma Aikya Jnanam, how does he teach Vidyarani Swami in these verses, in 8 verses? He just says, he takes this, our own experiences, he takes our own cognitions, and he says, there's so many cognitions we have, and so many experiences we go through. Are there many cognitions? Are there many experiences? Yes, we do have many experiences and many cognitions, but every cognition involves two aspects, consciousness aspect and a thought aspect. One alone does not make form a cognition or experience. Both together constitute the experience or cognition. But here, if we carefully see, analyze, the divisions, differences, would differentiate each thought from every other thought. Divisions, differences, the countability, plurality, multiplicity belongs to the thoughts, does not belong to the consciousness. So he takes that aspect. Then we have to understand, not only even though this divisions etc. belong to the body, mind, sense complex, not only thoughts, the thoughts are within the mind and mind is within the body. All of them can be looked upon as containers, and the actual content, essence of everything is the consciousness. And a consciousness with these body, mind and so-called upadis, with associated with these upadis, gets the name Jiva. And cognitively, if you remove this body, mind complex, the consciousness is, otherwise, is limitless. Consciousness without limitations is known by the term Brahma or Paramatma. And is what is Jivatma Paramatma Aikya Jnanam. And this is the essential teaching of the essence of the Vedantic teaching, which comes in these 8 verses from the 3rd to the 10th. And in this context, so you have to remember, so the Chaitanyam is consciousness, and this Chaitanyam is there always, with beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, independently, is always there. Therefore, it is of the nature of eternity. And this eternity of consciousness is known by the word Sat. And eternity implies what? Timelessness, which is immortality. And this immortality is, in fact, freedom from death, mortality, which is anandaha. Therefore, satchit anandaha is what? The atma. And here in this context, to reveal the jiva swarupam is also atma. To reveal the ananda swarupam, ananda being swarupam of the atma, Vidyaranya Swami uses another logic. It's very unique logic for Panchadashi. Vidyaranya Swami uses another logic to establish how ananda is jiva swarupam. He says, we always have liking for things which make us happy, which pleases. So we love the things which make us happy. We hate the things which make us unhappy, which make us. So objects which cause sorrow are not objects loved. Objects which are source of, which make us happy, pleased alone, which pleases alone, we like, we love. And here, we love ourselves the most, our own selves. Therefore, Atma being the most loved, one's own self being the most loved, the dearest one, Atma must be the greatest source of happiness. There cannot be a greater source of happiness other than the Atma. Because what is most loved here is one's own self. This also he hints there. He makes it very beautifully. He presents it. It's his own logic. Okay. It's very nice to know. Why you like yourself the most? You don't even know. You simply are not knowing you love yourself the most. And you, definitely, one can never like anything which makes one unhappy and sorrowful. Because you like yourself the most, you are the dearest to yourself, and yourself must be the greatest source of happiness, the only source of happiness, in fact. He establishes. Okay. With this, the second aspect is also, second feature we find in this teaching also is over. So introduces with the benediction the topic, then essence of the Vedantic teaching comes as the second feature of the second aspect of this whole chapter. Then comes, he presents beautifully the third topic he presents here is the cause of samsara. Samsarasya karanam he presents. And which are the verses here? Samsara karanam he presents from 11th to the 30th. Almost 20 verses he discusses the samsara karanam. And there he introduces the prakritihi. The word prakritihi, Vidyaranya Swami introduces this word prakritihi. Actually, prakritihi, I told you in the class itself, prakarshena kriyate anaya iti prakritihi. Prakarshena kriyate anaya iti prakritihi. So generally, prakritihi means matter. And here the inert, basic, the mula prakritihi, the fundamental inert matter is in Sanskritam beautifully called prakritihi. In English, we cannot explain why matter is called matter. And maybe there's a meaning, if I know Latin and Greek, I may be able to tell, I don't know. But in Sanskritam, we can say very beautifully, clearly, why matter is called prakritihi. Anyway. So, prakritihi is the very basic inert matter. And he beautifully says, presents it, the three types of prakriti. One prakriti alone, obtaining in threefold forms, as sattva pradhana prakriti, rajav pradhana prakriti, then tamav pradhana prakriti. And the sattva pradhana prakriti is known as maya, rajav pradhana prakriti is known as avidya, tamav pradhana prakriti is known as prakriti itself. So this consciousness implied by the words Brahman or Atma, associated with sattva pradhana prakriti and tamav pradhana prakriti, consciousness implied by the terms Atma or Brahma, associated with both the prakritis, sattva pradhana prakriti and tamav pradhana prakriti, is known, gets known as, or gets the title Ishwaraha, the qualification, Ishwara qualification, is possible only in association with sattva pradhana and tamav pradhana prakriti. So the consciousness, the pure consciousness implied by these terms Brahman or Atma, by itself cannot have Ishwara status. Only associated with this sattva pradhana prakriti, sattva pradhana prakriti and tava pradhana prakriti gets the Ishwara status, because only then consciousness can be looked at as the jagat karanam, abhinna nimitta upadana karanam, abhinna nimitta upadana karanam Ishwaraha, cause of this universe. One inseparable, intelligent and material causes of this universe is Ishwara. Who is Ishwara here? Ishwara is none other than consciousness associated with sattva pradhana and tava pradhana prakriti. Here, the sattva pradhana prakriti, association with sattva pradhana prakriti, attributes the causal status, intelligent causal status to Brahman, the consciousness. Association with sattva pradhana prakriti or maya attributes intelligent causal status to consciousness. Then association with tamav pradhana prakriti attributes the material causal status to the consciousness. So consciousness associated with sattva pradhana prakriti and tamav pradhana prakriti together, what now, gets Ishwara status as intelligent and the material cause of the universe. So sattva pradhana prakriti earns omniscience, sarvajnyatvam, thereby makes, gets the Ishwara status. And tava pradhana prakriti attributes, contributes for the material causal status. What makes Ishwara the material cause? The association with the tava pradhana prakriti contributes for the material status. Material status of being the material cause of the universe. Association with Atapradana Prakriti contributes for the status of being the intelligent cause of the universe. So, Sattva Pradhana Prakriti and Tamav Pradhana Prakriti, the consciousness associated with these two whole Prakritis becomes what? The Ishvara as the intelligent and material cause of the universe. So, Vidyaranya Swami here in these verses, in these 20 verses from 11th to the 30th, he very elaborately he discusses how exactly the Srishti is discussed in Tattva Bodha. So I can briefly tell you, because a summary, it is not an elaborate class anyway. And it will be boring also if I elaborate on it, because you know very well how Ishvara created the first Pancha Sukshma Bhutani, then Pancha Sthula Bhutani, subtle elements, creation of subtle elements, creation of gross elements, then creation of subtle elementals, then creation of gross elementals, gross bodies, subtle minds, etc. In that context, he makes it very clear which guna contributes for the formation of which organ, etc. Also, he makes it very clear. How sattvic aspect alone becomes the mind and sense organs. How rajasic aspect becomes the pranas and karmendriyani. And how the tamasic aspect alone undergoes change and grossification takes place. And how all the gross forms are actually constituted of the formed, the made of the gross, the tamasic aspects, etc. Elaborately, he discusses. This is how all these, the gross universe comes into existence and the gross bodies comes into existence. Even the subtle instruments of knowledge, instruments of actions, physiological, everything comes. Now, the house has been built ready for occupation, but nobody has it occupied. The creation, no? I didn't elaborate on those things. The physical bodies are there, gross bodies are there, and the gross bodies are there, subtle bodies are there, instruments of knowledge, organs of actions, all of them are there, but there are no occupants. You need the jiva. Therefore, and how, now the same consciousness associated with Rajah Pradhana Prakriti becomes the Jeevaha. The same consciousness associated with Rajah Pradhana Prakriti, I was called Avidya, becomes the Jeeva. Here again, jivas are many. There's so many jivas associated with Rajah Pradhana Prakriti. Now the question is, jivas are many means, can there be a jiva without consciousness? A jiva is nothing but consciousness. But is consciousness many? No. Consciousness is one, but jivas are many. How is it possible? Because here again, the bodies are many, minds are many, instruments of knowledge are many, organs of actions are many, everything is many, but here the consciousness associated with upadhi is one and the same. Therefore, here it is only when the consciousness associated with this Rajah Pradhana Prakriti obtaining as the jiva alone is found in problem. Ishvara has no problem. Which means, Sattva Pradhana Prakriti does not contribute for any problem. Tamav Pradhana Prakriti also does not contribute for any problem. Ajav Pradhana Prakriti alone contributes for problem. How does it contribute? By itself has no problem. The consciousness in association with this Prakriti, Sattva Pradhana, Tamav Pradhana, Ajav Pradhana, there's no problem. The problem is only when the consciousness obtaining as the jiva associated with Ajav Pradhana Prakriti alone is into trouble. Why? Because in association with Sattva Pradhana Prakriti, there is knowledge is total. Consciousness in association with Sattva Pradhana Prakriti, as Ishvara, as Sarvajna, as omniscient, has no problem. Well, because as Ishvara, there is a total knowledge. Aham Brahma Asmi, knowledge is total. There's no problem. In Tamav Pradhana Prakriti also is what now? There's total ignorance. In total knowledge, there is happiness, there is omniscience, there is almighty status, omnipresent status, omnipotent status, there's no problem. In association with total ignorance, Tamav Pradhana Prakriti also is a total ignorance, there is no problem. In total knowledge, there is right identity, therefore no problem. In total ignorance, there's non-identity, there's no problem. In partial knowledge, in partial ignorance, there is wrong identity, which is a problem. Okay, Rajav Pradhana Prakriti alone, Rajapradana association with Rajapradana Prakriti alone causes what? Adhyasa. Erroneous perception. Adhyasa itself is a result of the association with Rajapradana Prakriti. Why? Because it is the Visesha Ajnana Purvaka Samanya Jnanam. There is a Visesha Ajnana. There is a half ignorance. There is half knowledge. You know you are, but you do not know what you are. When you do not know you are, you need not know what you are. There is total ignorance. There is non-identity. There is in non-identity, there is no dukkham. In right identity, there is happiness. You know you are, you know what you are. In partial knowledge, in half knowledge, in half ignorance, there is wrong identity. So in total knowledge, right identity. In total ignorance, non-identity. So in total ignorance, there is bliss. In total knowledge, there is happiness. But in partial knowledge and partial ignorance, there is wrong identity. There is sukham and dukkham both. There is both pain and pleasure. That is why only human being has to go through his pairs of opposites. Sukham, dukkham, both. There is not only dukkham. The sukham also is there. But sukham and dukkham both will be there. That is what a human being. Pujya Swamiji used to say this. Only punya means you go up to higher lokas. Only papa will go below, other lokas. You have both punya papa, mishraha, human being. Mishraha is not only a brahmana surname, it is mishraha is the surname of any human being. Punya papa mishraha. Like that he used to say. Anyway, so here, this how Ajapradhana Prakriti, association with Ajapradhana Prakriti, natural results in what? There cannot be Purna Jnanam, there cannot be Purna Ajnanam also. There will be Ardha Jnanam, Ardha Ajnanam, half urge and half ignorance. Therefore, you are helplessly, you will be given to wrong identity, which is erroneous perception of the self and of the world, which is called what? Therefore, Adhyasaha. And you know definitely how Adhyasa results in Adhyaropaha. Adhyaropaha contributes for Asha, Ahankaraha, then Ahankara, wrong notions, then desires. Then once then human being will be helplessly, choicelessly trapped into the problem of being the victims of Ragadveshas. When Ragadvesha comes, then Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Madha, Matsaryadi, Shadripavaha, Shadari, Shadarayaha. The six enemies, he gets trapped. It's called what? Being held by this. We are all held. These asuras come and hold us, no? Catch hold of us. We are not holding on to the asuras. Asuras, we are caught up by this asuras. We get trapped by the ragadvesha. So you can, kama can be taken as ragadvesha. So kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya, six. These six people, they come and these six people, what are these six fold impurities? We are trapped into this. We get trapped by these six enemies. And that is when we remain bound. We are bound by the limitations. And this is how we start doing this. This is how the karma comes in the picture. And the performance of actions, then production of results, punya papa, again to exhaust the punya papa, again janma. So avidya, kama, karma. Avidya, kama, karma, janma. Avidya, kama, karma, janma. Avidya, kama, karma, janma. Because ignorance, that is, there's a ka desire, and desire results in, produces actions. It is a punya papa, and punya papa gives us again rebirth. Avidya, kama, karma. Shankara beautifully says, avidya, kama, karma, janma. This is completely, we are helpless. We get trapped. And this is how, this is what is samsara karanam. The whole thing, Vidyaranya Swami beautifully unfolds in these verses. From verse number 11 to the 30th. So to make us understand how ignorance, it is not total ignorance is not the cause of samsara. Total knowledge, of course, is the freedom. But here, half knowledge and half ignorance is the cause of samsara. Then he makes it very clear in this particular portion, this slokas from 11th to the 30th. So samsara karanam, cause of samsara, is it the next topic discussed here, as a third topic discussed in this verses 30th. Thereafter comes the most important crux portion of the first chapter. It's the central theme of the first chapter. You want to know? Moksha sadhanam, the means of attainment of moksha, is the fourth topic discussed. I can tell you all the rest of the verses, 31st verse onwards, until the 64th verse, in all these verses, he discusses this main topic of the means of attainment of moksha. So he covers the whole teaching in this first chapter. And the 65th verse, the last verse, is a verse where he concludes the topic. You can call it Upasamhara Shlokaha. The first two verses are Upodghata Shlokau, introductory verses. In fact, this first verse is a benedictory verse. Second verse is an introductory verse, Upodghata Shlokaha. And Upasamhara Shlokaha is a 65th shloka, where he concludes the whole teaching of the first chapter. And in these verses, from 31st to 64th, in all these verses, Vidyaranya Swami beautifully presents the means of attainment of moksha, moksha sadhana, mokshaya margaha. And which we have to see elaborately. First, he mentions, makes it very clear. In Viveka Chudamani, Shankara says, even to be born a human being, you must have lots of punyam. And even to be born a human being also, to be born a Vaidika, to be born a Vaidika, one must have very special punyam. And to be inclined for Advaita Jnanam, one must have amazingly great punyam. It is not easy otherwise. He says Viveka Chudamani. But here Vidyaranya Swami also mentions here, unless we have adequate amount of punyam, it is not possible at all for us to have desire for moksha. Mumukshutvam will not be possible at all. People will be very, very satisfied with what they eat, what they drink, and what they have, and the holidays, and then pleasures. If some punyam we have, no papam. Once you have a lot of punyam, the life will be moving smoothly, you know. When life is moving very smoothly, everything is okay, and then it is very difficult for people to think of moksha. Only people who have go through some hardships in life, they alone have discovered this seal for moksha. Some people. And even then, not all of them. But because some punyam, a clean life and all, sometimes things may move very smoothly. It is very difficult for people to discover mukshutvam, desire for moksha. So first thing he says, moksha, when he talks about the means of attainment of moksha, he mentioned, makes it very clear that one must have really adequate amount of punyam to be inclined for moksha. Okay. And second thing, how does one become attain moksha? He mentioned that context by going through the ashrama dharma, by doing karma, living a life karma yoga, by being prayerful, by being worshipful, living one's life, living a clean life as a person of knowing the value of values, living a life karma yoga, worshipfully, prayerfully, one has to earn punyam, tap Bhagawan's grace. As a result of which, definitely one discovers desire for moksha. And when a person really desperately seeks moksha, again because of punyam alone, he comes across a teacher. And he mentions Vidyaranya Swami, Parama Karunikaha Karunanidhi. The Guru here is mentioned as the Parama Karunikaha Karunanidhi. No, the ocean of mercy. And the Guru comes there. And even for us to come in contact with the right teacher also, one must have a lot of punyam. Otherwise, because emotionally we are very needy. Human beings are very, very needy. Naturally very needy. Helplessly, choicelessly, naturally, we are emotionally needy. It's very easy for us to get trapped anywhere, somewhere or the other. Because we will lean on something or the other, somewhere. As long as you're holding on to some prayers and worship and temples and Bhagavan, it's okay, no problem. But sometimes we get trapped, you know, with the wrong people also, so-called non-traditional people also. They may mean well, but they don't have clarity. Shankara says very clearly, if there is no Shastram, you know, Ashastra with Murkhavatu Upekshaniyaha, he says very clearly, however great the person is, however nice he is, however smooth he is, however loving he is, caring he is, that person can only make you emotionally dependent by giving you love, care and warmth. He cannot relieve you from Jnanam because he doesn't know teach you. Only by teaching you, only by giving the vision, one can make you emotionally independent. So one who helps you discover emotional freedom from emotional dependence is the Guru. If the Guru makes you emotionally dependent, he is not a Guru. Guru is the Guru only if a person helps you discover your independence. You know, is very important. And how can one make you? Only in Jnanam it is possible. Freedom from emotional dependence is possible only in Jnanam. Only when you have, only in right identity, only in the vision of the truth, the fact of yourself being the very essentially what you are. Essentially what you are, eternally what you are. Shifting your understanding from what you are empirically, from what you are empirically to what you are essentially, alone will help you, you know, help you remain independent. There's no independence at all otherwise. Therefore, here Shankar, he makes it very clear. The teacher is also, Vidyaranya Swami makes it very clear that he introduces the teacher, how the teacher comes, and it's very difficult for us to recognize who is the right teacher. For the teaching itself, because we are such helpless people, we do not even know who is a resourceful person, who is the right person, who I can trust, rely on as my teacher. Very difficult because we are completely ignorant. Again, that's why punyam, if we have, then by Bhagavan's grace, that's why pray to Bhagavan, seek Bhagavan's grace for even moksha, then Bhagavan's blessings will, Bhagavan will bless you with the right teacher. And as the teaching continues, goes on and on, systematically, regularly, when the teaching is happening, the teaching will help you, should help you see the fact that how the teaching should not contradict your reasoning. As you understand more and more and more, when you will see that nowhere at no level the teaching should contradict your reasoning. So based on how the teaching is not, teaching does not contradict your reasoning alone, you can discover even the teacher. And also the more you're exposed, the more it contributes for the enhancement of clarity also. This is how you can make sure who the teacher is. Anyway, therefore, one has to, definitely the teacher is a must. And Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, he talks about. Really speaking, if a person only with the punyam, only by living a life of dharma, prayerfully, worshipfully, with tapping Bhagavan's grace alone, one can be interested in purushartha, not only purushartha nischayaha, even mukshutvam, even sadhana chatushtaya sampatthi, even all fourfold qualifications are possible only if you have you are adequately intellectually sharp and emotionally stable. Otherwise, it's not possible. Only then the Shastram also will work. For such a mature person, then Shravanam itself is enough. He says, you don't need Mananam and Nididhyasanam at all. Shravanam itself will bless one with the very clear, doubt-free, ascertained knowledge, which is moksha. Suppose because of Pratibandhas, because of the past punya papams, in spite of having the Shravanam also, there may be doubts, there may be, the doubts may obstruct you from having the clear understanding. Therefore, the doubts, not the doubts, even the Pratibandhas can obstruct you from assimilating this knowledge. Therefore, they may prevent you from enjoying the benefit of knowledge. You have the knowledge, still you are not able to enjoy the benefit of knowledge because of some Pratibandha. And for which you also need a contemplative disposition of the mind. Therefore, after Shravanam, even one needs to do Mananam. And even after Mananam, one needs to relive the Shravanam in order to tackle the Pratibandhas, obtaining the home of habitual errors, so that one can have clear, doubt-free vision. And here, the teacher is the one who teaches you, who is a Mahavakya Upadeshakarta, is the teacher. You know, Mahavakya means what? Jivatma Paramatma Swarupa Aikya Bodhaka Vakyam is Mahavakya. Mahavakya is a great statement, declaration, which reveals the oneness of the truth of the individual and the total. And the guru has to unfold. So there are words, there is a portion, there are mantras, there are verses which reveal the implied meaning of the, which present the analysis of the Tvampada. There are verses which reveal the unfoldment of the Tatpada. And there are verses also which reveal the unfoldment of the Asipada, implied meaning of these three words, Tat, Tvam and Asi. So Jiva Vichara, Ishara Vichara, Tvampada Vichara, Tatpada Vichara and Asipada Vichara. There are many methods, and one of the methods of the Jiva Swarupa Vicharaha, analysis of the individual, is, one of the methods is Panchakosha Prakriya. Panchakosha Vivekaha is one of the methods of analyzing the individual, thereby arriving at the essential nature of the individual. You what now? One of the methods is Panchakosha Prakriya. Called Panchakosha Vivekha. And here he uses the Panchakosha Prakriya. I'm not elaborating, I'm just telling you what he used. Panchakosha Prakriya. Panchakosha Vivekha he does. And this Panchakosha Vivekha makes it very clear what is Annamaya Koshaha. What is Pranamaya Kosha? What is Manomaya Kosha? What is Vijnanamaya Kosha? What is Anandamaya Kosha? This Thula, Sukshma, Karana, Shairani, these three bodies alone are understood to be these five layers of personality. Others called five koshas. And here this Pancha Kosha Viveka, Pancha Kosha Prakriya actually helps us distinguish the Atma from the Anatma, the Chaitanyam from the matter, consciousness from the matter, the gross matter and also subtle matter. The gross matter of body, subtle matter of mind distinguishes, and here, and it helps one to arrive at the fact, this body, mind, sense complex, and aham, I am, the content of I is not the gross matter, the body, or subtle matter, the mind, the content of I is a pure consciousness. Actually, the pure consciousness being the essential nature of is the Atma, which is the essential nature of the individual, is arrived at. And here, this through the Panchakosha Viveka also, how you arrive at the Atma being the consciousness being essential nature, not the any of the five layers of personality, not any of the koshas. Here, for which use the Bhagatyaga Lakshana. Using the Bhagatyaga Lakshana or Jaha Jahal Lakshana. Hope you remember, you didn't forget all these names. Jaha Jahal Lakshana or Bhagatyaga Lakshana. Bhagatyaga Lakshanaya Panchakosha Vivekena Panchakosha Viveka Dwara. Through the Panchakosha Viveka, analysis of five layers of personality, using the Bhagatyaga Lakshana, Vidyaranya Swami helps us arrive. Like in Upanishad, any Upanishad, it is not his own. No Acharya can claim anything as his own. He uses all that is used in. Only thing is, they make it very simple and easily digestible and enjoyable. So, using this through Bhagatyaga Lakshana means what here? Of the individual, you have to negate what? Leave the gross matter aspect, the physical body, Annamaya Kosha. Then remove the Pranamaya Kosha, remove the Manomaya Kosha, remove the Vijnanamaya Kosha. Cognitively, physically don't do anything. Intellectually, cognitively negate the Pranamaya, Manomaya, Vijnanamaya, Anandamaya, Annamaya as the matter. Then what cannot be negated, non-negatably satyam, abadhitam is satyam, what cannot be negated as matter is the pure consciousness. In fact, nothing else is there beyond the matter. What is non-negatable is consciousness. And beyond consciousness, you cannot go. The journey comes to an end there. You start from the Annamaya, negate Annamaya as matter, then go through prana, prana subtler than the gross body, but still matter. Again from prana you go to what? Manomaya. There again you see mind and sense powers, again subtle, much subtler than prana, but still matter. Then go to Vijnanamaya, intellect and sense organs, again much subtler matter. Again, go to Anandamaya, much subtler matter, subtlest matter. Avidya is also what? Anandamaya. That negate, that also is matter. Ananda, ignorance, avidya is also matter. Then beyond the ignorance, what is there? What is that because of which avidya being there is known? And that is the pure awareness, pure consciousness, and beyond which you the journey cannot continue. You have to stop. This way Narayana, okay, Narasyayanam, the final destination, reaching which the journey cannot continue. Knowing which the search and the part of the mind comes to an end. Narasyayanam. Narasyayanam. Anyway, so here, this you arrive at the consciousness, which is the beyond the matter. What is there is, beyond means distinct from matter. What is there which is distinct from matter is the consciousness. Then after consciousness, what is? That is, the journey can't continue anymore. You have to stop there. Therefore, you arrive at it. Therefore, here you negate. You leave the bhaga, you leave. Anatma, matter aspect is the Tyaga of the Bhaga. Bhagasya Tyagaha. Isn't it? The certain matter aspect of the individual is cognitively negated as non-self anatma. Then consciousness aspect of the individual is retained as the essential nature. What is rejected cognitively? Matter aspect. What is taken as the essential nature? Consciousness aspect. So what is Bhagasya Tyagaha, Bhagasya Svikaraha? Bhagasya Svikara is not mentioned here, isn't it? You see Bhagatyaga Lakshana. If you take the body, mind and complex also into account, then you cannot equate to Ishvara. Ishvara Swarupam, Jeeva Swarupam. Swarupam is one, Chaitanya Mundi. So you arrive at the Jeeva Swarupam, for which you Jeeva Vicharaha, Vyakti Vicharaha. You negate the Anatma. Here the method used is Panchakosha Viveka and Bhagatyaga Lakshana. Bhagatyaga Lakshana helps you negate the matter aspect of the individual. Then you arrive at the consciousness aspect, then retain it as the Swarupa, essential nature of the individual. And that consciousness without the Panchakoshas is what? Atma. Otherwise called Paramatma. The same consciousness, what? Brahma. And that consciousness is Sat. Why? Existence. Because why it's existence? It is the very truth. Because of its nature, eternity, it is the Satyam. And the same consciousness, being, is of the nature of eternity, timelessness is Satyam. And I told you already, eternity is, timelessness is immortality, and immortality is freedom from mortality, death, which is freedom, anandaha. Freedom is anandaha. This is how you arrive at it. Of course, I want to a little more. Then we also have the Tatpada Vichara. Jagat Abhinna Nimitta Upadana Karanam Ishwaraha. Jagataha Abhinna Nimitta Upadana Karanam Ishwaraha. Ishwara, who is Tatpada Vishaya? So Tvampada Vishaya Jivaha. Tatpada Vishaya Ishwaraha. The meaning of the word Tvam is Ishwara. The word Tat stands for Ishvara, the whole, the macrocosmic being, and the Tam stands for the microcosmic being, the individual. So in individual analysis of the individual, you have negated the matter aspect of the individual. In terms of Annamaya Kosha, Pranamaya Kosha, Annamaya Kosha, Vijnanamaya Kosha, Anandamaya Kosha, then you only retained the consciousness aspect as the essential nature of the individual. Then if you take Ishvara also, what now? Ishvara also same consciousness only. But with what? With the Tamah Pradhana Prakritihi, Rajah Pradhana Prakritihi. So Tamah Pradhana and Hatha Pradhana, both the Prakritis you negate. If consciousness is what? Same, one and the same. Jiva and Ishvara, there's no Jiva and Ishvara, there's only Atma. There's no Jiva Atma or Paramatma. There's only Atma enjoying two different names. Therefore, essentially, they're one. This how he does that, we'll see in the next class. The last part, I want to redo it because it's a very important portion. The summary is almost over. I want to do only the how he present the teaching, moksha sadhanam, mokshaya margaha, the means of attainment of moksha, freedom from this bondage, samsara, through resolution of ignorance, attainment, no, knowledge of the, by the attainment of knowledge of the truth, how he does it, that part I explained it a bit today, but I'll redo it, only that last portion I'll redo quickly next class. Then I'll start the second chapter. Okay? So totally you can say the whole chapter can divide into what? Five parts. First verse, mandatory verse. Second verse, introduction of the teaching, which is Upodghata Shlokaha, second verse. Then Vedanta Saraha, essence of the Vedantic teaching, the second topic, which is third to the 10th verse. Then the cause of samsara, samsara karanam, is discussed as the third topic in the verses from the 11th to the 30th. Then the means of attainment of moksha, jnanam, attainment of knowledge as a means of moksha, that is discussed in these verses 31st to the 64th, all the verses. That is the main topic, important topic of the whole chapter. However, that topic will be meaningless without other topics, isn't it? So you are understanding what is bondage. Very beautiful. In understanding bond, you need to understand what bondage is for you to know what freedom is, isn't it? You don't know what bondage is, how can you understand what freedom is? And to understand the samsara, the bondage, he, in that context, he introduces the very matter as prakriti. And he talks about threefold prakriti. Hatva pradhana, rajah pradhana, tamah pradhana. And of the three, you take the first and the last. Hatva pradhana and tamah pradhana together go for war. Ishvara. It's the same consciousness in association with twofold matter as Ishvara status. What is left now? Rajah pradhana, Ishvara doesn't take. The same consciousness associated with rajah pradhana gets the jiva status. But as Ishvara, there is no dukkham. As tavapradhana, also what now? Even there is no dukkham for other living beings where ignorance is total. So the problem is not there for any animal, any plant, or Ishvara also. That's why I told you, in total knowledge there is freedom. In total ignorance there is bliss. In half knowledge and half ignorance there is bondage. Because that is where there is wrong identity. Right identity, wrong identity, non-identity. Right identity in knowledge, there is in total knowledge, there is right identity, there is freedom. There is omniscience, there is omnipotence. Whereas in total ignorance, there is non-identity, there is no bondage. There is again bliss. In half again, there is bondage, which is wrong identity, adhyasa. Only in association with avidya, where there is half fudge and half ignorance, only then adhyasa, it alone paves way for the adhyasa, error in the perception. So for this perspective change alone is moksha, isn't it? For which you need total knowledge. That is why he introduces the second topic itself is what now? What is the cause of samsara? You understand the very ajnanam. You understand analyze the individual. You only see atma, anatma together constitute the individual. So the problem, there's no actually problem on the part of the matter or on the part of the consciousness. It is all because of the wrong notion. It all boils down to the wrong notion, ahankara, erroneous notion, caused by erroneous perception of the self and the world, and for which only jnanam is the only solution. This is what people need to understand. We think what any external situation makes me feel low, small, inferior, or upset. I tell you, any external situation, no external situation will really can stir and cause any pain in you if the I sense is resolved. What I am essentially is very clear. No external situation will cause any problem. The Shastram analyzed the problem so thoroughly. So you do the needful in situations, but be conscious. no external situation really should contribute for, could cause any emotional pain. Therefore, it's all the problem is all in the wrong notion, erroneous notion, because erroneous perception caused by ignorance. Therefore, its only solution is ignorance has to be resolved. And for resolving the ignorance also, you're not destroying here. You are to resolve the ignorance, all that you need is only jnanam. That is made very clear in the, and for what jnanam? Tattva vivekaha, tattva jnanam, discriminate knowledge of the truth. And that means the truth you discern, then you are, what do you arrive at? You arrive at this, the truth is essentially one. There's no jiva, there's no ishvara, there's no jivatma, there's no paramatma. Essentially, there's only one truth. And the rest is mithya, you understand. It's very important to resolve this problem. Fundamental problem centered on I. Therefore, you need tattvamasi mahavakya vichara. So, mahavakya bodhakaha is the teacher. And tvampada vicharaha is done separately. Tattvada vichara is done separately. Enquiry into the nature of the individual, enquiry into the nature of the essential nature of the total macrocosmic being, otherwise called Ishvara, then you understand how essentially Jiva and Ishvara are not there, only Atma is there. There's no Jiva other than Atma, there's no Ishvara other than Atma. These two different words are used as two different statuses attributed to one and the only reality, the consciousness, Atma. Now, the three prakritis, now you have already taken. Tattva pradana, tam pradana together make association with consciousness. Having association with the tattva pradana, tam pradana prakriti contributes for the attainment of Ishvara status. Association Hattu Pradhana Prakriti alone gives intelligent cause status. Association with Tama Pradhana Prakriti gives material cause status. So Ishvara. Raja Pradhana Prakriti gives Jiva status. As two causes, Ishvara status. Finally, when you understand the whole teaching, what is the final teaching then? We negate tamapradana prakritihi, atapradana prakritihi cognitively. You understand there is only consciousness. And without the Ishvara status, without the prakritis, there is pure consciousness. Without the avidya also, body, mind's complex, there's only pure consciousness. And as pure consciousness is implied by the word Brahman or Atma, is neither the Jiva nor the Ishvara. When you understand that, then the Brahma Chaitanyam as consciousness is neither the effect Jiva nor the cause Ishvara. Karya, Karana, Vyatiriktam, Chaitanyam, Brahma. There's only absolute reality, the consciousness, which is distinct from the cause and the effect, which is neither the cause nor the effect. Karya Karana Vitiriktam Brahma. So this is going to unfold. So this is the five topics now, understand. Introduction with the benediction. Essence of Vedanta. The cause of samsara. The means of attainment of moksha. Then Upasamhara Shlokaha. The conclusion, concluding verse. This forms the first chapter of the Panchadashi. We'll see in the next class. The only thing I want, what I want to elaborate on everything again. I want to start the next chapter. The last portion alone, the knowledge as the only means of attainment of moksha, that portion, the verses, discuss that portion from 31st to 64. Quickly, I'll say next class for 5-10 minutes, 15 minutes, then I'll start the next chapter. Okay? Was it clear?
Yes, Swami.
Because you heard a lot, the only thing is a lot of been bits. So now it's
very clear. Summary is very good today.
Yeah.
Excellent summary.
Yeah. Because you heard the whole thing, if I do read, it will take very long. That's why I made it very simple. So yeah. Next time we'll start the second chapter. So we had the honor of having a class, now it'll be Mama from Chennai. I came last night, Mama, here. But I woke up at 2 o'clock, like Indian timing, jet lag. So I've been away from 2 o'clock now. It's 12 o'clock now. So I think I should be okay next class. Om Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.